Jordan Paris, thank you for hopping on the show today, my man. And for everyone listening, Jordan is the host of Growth Mindset University. And if you don't know Growth Mindset University, your personal development is probably lacking. It is a top 100 podcast and it is ranked highly on many different categories. One of my favorites is number 15 in education, a piece of passion for myself. Jordan is also the author of Growth Mindset University, as well as his newer book, a bestseller, The Podcast Playbook. He's been seen on Forbes, Entrepreneur, Yahoo Finance, NASDAQ MarketWatch, and is also a future teacher for the youth of students in Israel. Jordan, welcome to the
Potentially.
show.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate it. Very kind intro. That's the teaching you mentioned is a very exciting potential opportunity. I know we've discussed it, I think, via messages and last week when we were talking. Yeah, I have like second round of interviews next week for this. It's not a job, it's a volunteer opportunity too. I think it's worth saying because I would never take a job. Yeah.
So let's start there then, man. We both went on Birthright. I went in 2016, but so few people actually get so inspired to want to go teach and let alone volunteer, right? So what drove that? I find it so intriguing.
I don't know. I just wanted to spend more time there. That's really what it is. I mean, I remember like, last day, they brought in someone like to talk about this program, and nobody really seemed to be jumping at it. But I was like, I kind of knew. I was like, oh, I'm really like I want to do that. I was like, I made my decision. So I don't know. It's just like an instinct. I don't know.
So what captivated you about Israel? Because I know for me, it was just intoxicating in like the most healthy way possible.
Me too. I think the people that I met over there, definitely like distort the experience, like definitely, makes me biased. But, I think the Israelis that I met that lived there, not just the Americans that went on the trip with us, but like the Israelis were really, I like they're awesome. And I still talk to a few of them today. And and then I think just the place as a whole, it's really safe. I just think it's a cool place that I want to get to know a little bit better. I don't know, but I just have a hunch. I don't know why. I just want to. It's like a girl. I'll give a shot. I don't really
Yeah.
know where it's gonna go, but give you a shot.
Willing to take the
Get to know
journey.
you a little bit better.
Yeah, man.
Take the journey.
I think it's beautiful. And one of the things that when I reflect on Israel, like I've reflected on my experience, is the people. And I think Israelis, when you compare the citizens of Israel compared to anywhere in the world, their culture is so rich with just beauty.
I agree. How many Israelis did you have on your trip?
There's six, three guys, three girls, and the tour guide. So seven.
We had it was seven Israelis and the tour guide, and then similar.
Yeah, man. And as we just bring this up, the thing that pops out for me is Israelis have this culture of living life full tilt. And I remember leaving and truly am like that taught me so much. Going to there was a festival or a party we ended up at. None of the Americans were dancing. Every single Israeli was dancing. We're all sober. And I was like,
Oh yeah.
what's this say about American culture versus Israeli culture, right? And it's just that fearlessness. It's that acceptance. So I think you're gonna have a fantastic time, man.
Yeah, there's a lot more to learn over there. Just like that, what you just brought up that I didn't like I didn't even catch yet. Maybe I'll catch it next time I'm over there. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's use that to transition to the thing that I'm so curious about. We spoke last week and you told me just at this point in your journey, you're just looking at fun. And I didn't get to ask you, like, you're someone who's a world thought leader, right? You're 22. You got the world at your fingertips. So what does fun look like for you?
That's a good question. Well, my formula lately has been like it's just been a great formula of I wake up maybe 4 times a week I'll go to F45 you know, I move my body. And, you know, we've got this great community there, you know, like these small-ish intimate workout classes, you know, like this boutique fitness studio. And like, it's great. I love it. The community's great. And so that's a great part of my day. And then I, you know, I come home and I like having a very, you know, very like small, very, sometimes very small, healthy breakfast, and, you know, opening up the computer. And on the days that I don't go to F45 in the morning, the first thing I do is read first, but, and then I'll do this, you know, I'll open up the computer, breakfast, you know, I'll put ESPN on, and then I'll like, and that, like, I won't keep that on for long, you know, maybe 30 minutes. And then I'll like get into like some deeper work that I need to get done. And by like noon or like very early afternoon, like 1-2 o'clock, like I'm done. And then I hang out with friends and like, I wheel and deal. I, you know, I'm making plans. I'm using the technology as a bridge to like, to human interaction, not like as a barrier when we're there. I'm using it to like, you know, get in front of more people. And so that's been a great formula for me, you know, very simple. And that's fun.
I love that. And I love how you said a few things, right? You talked about your health in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, talked about
health all day. Food. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I loved your post yesterday. You talked about like, if it's not natural, don't eat it. Right. So it's very apparent that
food, man, it's a biological, it's like code that upgrades or downgrades our biological software. Like we get these decisions all the time. You saw me eating when I got on here, this Primal Kitchen, and chocolate coconut protein bar.
Love now, that brand. Here,
oh, good. Glad you know it. I love so much of their stuff. The salad dressings they have, you can't get a cleaner salad dressing.
They have their
mayos, tomatoes are very inflammatory. I choose to stay away from that. But they have like mustard too. Yeah, they just have a lot of good stuff, but these square bars are good. They have like the longer rectangle ones. They actually suck. They taste horrible. These ones are so good, man. It's like a brownie. Got coconut oil, prebiotic fiber, eggs, unsweetened chocolate, flax, honey, cocoa, coconut flour, vanilla extract, sea salt, and organic monk fruit and organic rosemary extract. Like there's no garbage in there, you know? And so many protein bars are like glorified candy bars, and I like that one. Yeah. It sounds like an advertisement. It's not.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're all endorsing or standing away from a brand, right?
Yeah, yeah. But listen to the things I'm endorsing. I was just like when I was talking about F45, that sounded like an ad. When I was talking about Primal Kitchen, that sounded like an ad. I'm like serious about these things that just do great favors for my health, you know?
Yeah.
I appreciate those things.
And the thing that I love that you said specifically, my formula, like lately, right? And you're viewing it from the lens of just input, like your life is input driven. Like I'm going to F45. I'm going to eat breakfast when it might be small. I'm going to consume content, right? And the thing that clearly distinguishes you from your peers at the age of 22 is it's all intentional. It's purposeful, right? And it's reverse engineered. So you've obviously had the great gift of getting to study from amazing teachers.
Sure.
But, yeah. You know, applying that on day in, day out basis is, that's where it is. So you mentioned something at the tail end, man, and I've been super curious about this for you. You talked about how you'll hit up your friends. And if I recall correctly, you're in a fraternity, right?
I used to be. Like, I'm not a part of it anymore. I grew out of it. Yeah.
So that was going to be my next question for you. Like, what is, you're on campus still, or you're near the campus, and what does that look like? Sure. Because when someone could see the persona of you, right? Not the you that is the loving, kind person, people could build perceptions like and put you on this big pedestal. So what's it like actually forming those genuine relationships that we all crave?
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, even people that don't know me, that have never had an interaction with me, that think that actually, you know, I've heard, you know, I'll hear from a little birdie, you know, like he has, you know, he has an ego, you know, like you know, I hear like these rumors about me, and I'm like, haha, you know, like I love it. I love that like there's ongoing discussions about me, like in the background, you know, like, you know, on campus. And we have like a mini campus, like now that, you know, 'cause I'm an entrepreneurship major and I'm in, you know, my upper level classes, like I'm talking about the entrepreneurship building, like it's not even on main campus. So we have like this great little community there. It's way smaller than obviously like, you know, the rest of campus. So yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I just say what I want and smile and laugh, and, you know, and other people smile and laugh too, and connections are made. And yeah, I just get really involved, and that's the way to make friends. Like tonight, you know, sometimes there's like the CEO club, and, you know, like the other week, you know, they asked me to be a judge for, you know, like a pitch competition there. And so I was a judge, and that was cool. I met some cool people, like I did. And then I see them, you know, 'cause they're all intertwined, you know, with the entrepreneurship major, and they're like on that satellite campus there. Like, yeah, you know, I see them the next day, and like, hey Jordan, like who, you know, someone had to leave early. Like, oh, who won? And, we have a conversation, and then like tonight, you know, I'm speaking on an entrepreneurs panel at the same club. And I'm sure like inevitably some new relationships will come from that. It's really just about getting involved and the way I've been involved has changed dramatically over the year. In the beginning, it was college athlete, so cheerleader. It was fraternity, and it was president of my residence hall as a freshman. And some of those things carried into sophomore year. Just the president didn't, because it's a 1-year term. And so I had friends like connections in every sphere of campus, like literally in every area. You know, I covered the bases. Like I was, those three opportunities, like vastly different types of people are involved with those. And then junior year, I definitely took like an involvement hiatus. Like I wasn't involved in like anything that was like grind and books and podcast, and that was like me isolated, very alone, you know. But now it's, you know, the things that I just said, you know, getting involved with this community, not really in any positions of leadership on campus, but or like actively like a member of, you know, different clubs, but I'm like, I just get very involved with this entrepreneurship community, and it's fun.
I love that. And I love that you painted the pictures of your like evolution, right? Yeah. I think that every single entrepreneur goes through that part of their journey where it's freaking lonely because you're grinding super hard. For you, it was last year, right? And then this year, I mean, I could tell that the intent is behind, you're still going full throttle, but it's behind balance and the sense of fulfillment within relationships too. And I think it's brilliant the way that you're getting involved too. It's, you know, when you stand in front of a room or you're a person that's a respected figure in a room, you naturally gravitate the people who resonate with you and your values.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, you could think like, you know, me getting, you know, those opportunities, like being in front of a room, you know, of people almost like being the authority among, you know, or at least among, you know, your peers, you know, with these opportunities, like, oh, you know, you have it easy. But like, I was just like every other freshman on campus with no friends, like that. I did like you work your way up to like, you know, having, you know, these sorts of opportunities, you know?
Yeah. And with that, like last piece, right, you're working your way through life, like it never stops. So
yeah.
In your last year,
keep leveraging one thing into the next too.
Oh yeah. Springboarding,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's what the best entrepreneurs do best. It's, I think Damon John's new book, he talks about that a lot. He talks about making that pivot, that the best make that pivot.
Which one? Does he have one after Rise and Grind? Or
yeah, I actually don't,
or is that the one you're talking about?
No, I actually don't recall the newest book, but he's just releasing it.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Yeah, that's why I asked. I should reach out to
Power Shift.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'd be a great interview because he's broadcasting that really, really largely right now.
I'm reaching out to him like within the next hour. Promise.
So his book's called The Power Shift, and every great entrepreneur takes their experience, but then you pivot and you make this shift where your end product isn't going to be the same as where you started, but you're still exceptional because the entrepreneur isn't about the product, it's about the mind behind the service or product. I think that's really what it hones in on. Mm-hmm. So speaking of like that power shift mentality, right? Like the best, which you study them, right? You strive to be them, have very specific areas of growth, right? Intentionality. What's yours? What's yours today? Or in the last 3 months, at least, where's your focus like for growth?
Oh, can I say like finance?
100%.
Yeah. There's that. There's speaking and storytelling, both one and the same. Yeah. Just becoming like such a great speaker is what I'm focusing on right now. And cause I thought I was so great before. And like, you know, people say, oh, natural speaker, but like, I just didn't, there's a lot of fundamentals. Number one, no, I'm not a natural speaker. It seems like I am now. And then also, like, I may sound natural, but especially when I'm up presenting or talking or whatever. But there's just so many fundamentals that I'm missing. And storytelling was just a really sad omission in every, you know, talk I gave. You know, I'm very dynamic and entertaining and exciting and I can be fun, but like stories were just missing, man. Very animated too, but again, stories missing. And preparing for this TED talk has really, and working with this speaking coach I have, not the one with, I mean, yeah, the, you know, like with TED, you know, the organizers and the people they have there to help you. But like, I have a real like speaking coach, and he's just like forced me to, you know, realize a lot of things about myself, a lot of potential, a lot of stuff that's still like left out there on, you know, to grab and make happen for myself and incorporate in my talks. And so working on that, and yeah. I feel like there's way more that I'm like working on. I don't know.
Well, let's dive in there because I'm really curious. So as a speaker, right, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's perceived. It's so easy, right? It's just about maintaining your composure, keeping a fluid story going, like being entertaining. But when you start to study the art of speaking, you get to understand that there's so many intricacies, let alone like just being able to tell a good story. So you talked about that a lot. What's been, as you reflect on your experience and your growth with your coach, I was actually going to ask him specifically, what like stands out?
Yeah. Okay. So notice like every single movie, even documentaries, they start it like a really dramatic point. Maybe it's the most dramatic point. It's the most exciting, maybe confusing, just like a almost like a climax, and it's like not even very long, and then it cuts to like, okay, how we got there, and then they start building up from there, and then I can think of Catch Me If You Can with Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio acting as Frank Abagnale, who's awesome if you've heard him on podcasts, and obviously like true story. And, you know, they start, the first scene is like Leonardo/Frank, like, you know, in a, like in captivity, like almost like on the brink of death. But then he was like faking it and he escaped, as soon as no one was watching him. And then bam, it's like, okay, how did we get there? And then you see that scene like 2 hours later again. What else? Okay, so like that Ted Bundy movie with Zac Efron, you can like, the first scene is literally like the last scene. The first scene is like 1989 is it's like a day before he's about to get executed, and he's seeing like his girlfriend from 1974 that pretty much tipped off the police and detectives to Ted, and they're like talking between glass, and then bam, like, okay, how did we get there? And then they close the loops at the end. You see that scene again, and the loop is closed. So, and that's called, I think it's called, there's a like a Latin term for it. I'm going to look it up as I'm in medias res, into the middle of a narrative without preamble and without context. They just plant you right in the middle of the most dramatic point of the story. And like, that's a great way to start off your TED talk, in medias res. This is the difference. Nobody wants to hear it chronologically. Like, that's boring. That's all of life. We're used to that. The stimuli is saturated. You do it chronologically versus in medias res, that's a difference of hundreds of thousands of views or potentially millions of views. So that's what stands out to me. I love that.
Oh, Mike freaking dropped, man. So what's yours? If you're willing to give like the sneak peek of the TED talk, I know.
Now you gotta hear the TED talk. No.
Great.
No. Okay. Can't do it.
can't blame a guy for trying, but
yeah, I know,
dude. I think you painted a great piece, right? Because that's just the first. That just captivates you, right? That just gets you entrenched in the story. Then, the human has, every person has ADD. We have 7 seconds to maintain the attention span of a person. So that's where the art of speaking. Like, you can come out with a big entrance, and now it's like, great, every 7 seconds, maintain the attention of every single person watching this. Go.
People are deciding they're right in the beginning. All right, do I want to pay attention or not? Like, am I gonna give the energy to like pay attention to this or no? And you gotta start that way. You can't, like, I'm trying to think. What's a really, so here's a stupid, really stupid. Stupid, I'm not mincing words here, like, stupid freaking way to start. Hi, I'm Jordan Paris. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really honored to be here. Like, I'm no one paying attention.
Oh my stupid. God. When you said that, I flashed back to my commencement or my graduation of Ohio State in 2016. The commencement speaker, the very first words, and I don't remember anything he said. First words, I don't remember anything my commencement speaker said at my graduation.
He said that?
And I was done. I was like, fuck this guy.
That's amazing. That's so great. That's the worst way you could start off.
I remember I left. I went to go buy a hot dog or something. I remember.
Oh, that's great, man.
I remember that journey. It's like, that was actually one of my inspirations to go study speaking and go study guys like Dane Cook. He is brilliant. Go study guys. I'm a big Dave Asprey fan, right? Go study.
Oh, really?
Huge. And when you start to study them, you start to notice that watch Dane Cook's face when he speaks, watch his pauses, watch his eyebrows. Like, it's those small details that we're not even conscious of are happening. That's like keeping you entrenched in that experience,
which important.
No one little talks things. About.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm really pumped. For everyone listening, they're like, oh my God, I want to hear his TED talk now. Like, when's that going to come out so they can get a good taste of that?
Yeah. Well, first off, it's about college education. And, while I've spent so much time over the past few years tearing it down, I'm like redeeming it here. And I teach you how to, how to really make the most of it. But anyway, I won't give away too much. But March 21st, I'm giving the talk. And then, should be like 4 or 5 weeks. It seems like the turnaround time is typically, to get it posted on TED YouTube channel. Yeah. And so really, the week I'm walking across the stage to get my own worthless piece of paper, I will be like, that talk will be coming out.
That is serendipity, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
So last week of April, first week of May, I bet that's what I'm guessing. But I'm thinking of having I'm not even going to, I was going to say, I'm thinking of having like a link that I'm going to redirect to the talk when it's out. It's going to be like jordanparis.com/TEDx or something, but I don't have that yet. I don't even know. So don't even take my word for that.
Okay. I'll still be looking out for it, but dude, I'm really excited, and I'm really excited about that talk for a few reasons. Right. And I think what comes to mind is your announcement on your talk. You made that announcement on LinkedIn and you got blown up, like so much love and so much hate. And then I remember you posted like the next day or something along those lines. And it was like, I'm a human too, guys. Like, and I felt for you because I remember thinking like, I've gotten a few really shitty comments and I'm on the receiving end. And like, we go to these platforms, like it's a dopamine hit, right? So our anticipation is dopamine. So when you go in and see like that hate, it's completely blown out of proportion. So
yeah,
I remember.
I received it in mass that day.
Insane. But I think that had a really nice like build up, a really big, like, you know, onset of what's to come because it's so polarized and the best topics are polarized.
Exactly. I almost used that announcement post and then the ensuing post the next day, like me on the video. Like I almost used that as my, like the whole thing and like as like my opening story almost. But I've really gone in a completely new direction with the talk. And I mean, it's worth noting too, the reason I got blown up like that is because I literally said, I posted a picture of TEDx logo and I said, I have just received official word that I'll be giving a TEDx talk in March of 2020 on why formal education, why college is a waste of time / a financial scam. Duh. Like, you know, of course, you know, when I post that with no context, like I knew I was being provocative. Some of the things that were said to me, I weren't prepared for those things, but yeah, I definitely like I egged it on, and you know. But if I were to like announce the talk today, like that's not really what the talk is about. I mean, it's like acknowledging that it can be those things. It can be a big waste of time, and it can seem like a financial scam. It's like acknowledging that for like a line or two. And then like the rest of it is just making the most of it.
What a really nice twist.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that, honestly. It's,
yeah. The few people that have seen it so far, like have said that know my stance, obviously, like really wasn't expecting that. I thought it was going to be a lot more negative, they say. It's very positive. It's very positive. So it'll be fun.
Awesome. Well, dude, I'm actually shocked. I'm truly shocked that that's the approach you're going on. And I mean, great storytellers.
It's more mature.
Yeah. I think it's a great tell of like, it's just a great representation of your journey, right? You're on your exit and it's like looking back and like viewing it from the lens of appreciation rather than like the sophomore junior in college is like, this isn't for me. I'm meant to do so much more big things. I'm not even getting that. So,
right.
I love that. Yeah. Well, Jordan, I really appreciate you coming on. I think that everything you strive to do in the intentional way, it's really remarkable. I remember the first time I came across you, it was that our interaction where you were tagged or I was tagged by accident. Someone meant to tag you. And then I just, your journey has been beautiful, right? Being able to track in the last like about a year, you climb the rankings of your podcast, you just being a raw person because there's so much fake authenticity and just sharing your journey, man. It's been awesome. And we got like several decades to go. So I'm excited to, in maybe 40, 50 years from now, like come across your name and be like, shit, I remember when he was 22, doing XYZ. So. True honor, like
likewise.
Really a privilege to get to experience this journey with you, man. And if people are entrenched by your story and they want to learn more about you, where can they go?
Well, thank you, Jordan. JordanParis.com. It's all there. Everyone can find just about everything, I think. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Jordan, I want you to have a fantastic day and keep inspiring us.
Jordan, thank you.
Awesome.